This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest Anthony Parsons, who was a professional drummer in the rock band Problem with Polly. On December 29th, 2021, Anthony's brain was starved of oxygen for an hour. After 3 weeks in a coma, Anthony woke with a feeling of total acceptance and has since been contemplating the depths of the experience and its meaning for his life. Anthony invites us to join him in reflecting upon who he is and why he is here. Anthony's story is entitled Long and Winding Road. Thank you for joining us for part one, Anthony Parsons' story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. This week, we welcome guest Anthony Parsons of Indianapolis, Indiana. Anthony suffered a noxious brain injury on December 29th, 2021. Anthony has come to realize that his relationships, talents, and turbulent upbringing prepared him for the challenges of recovery. He invites us to join him in reflecting on his long and winding road through life and recovery, while also gazing ahead to the unknown beyond. Anthony's story is entitled Long and Winding Road. Before we begin, we'll start with a moment of pause, grounding ourselves, creating space to listen to ways that we feel moved by each other's stories. Today especially, we honor the long and winding road of our own lives. We give thanks for the people who have showed up at just the right time. And we give thanks for those moments of serendipity, those moments of joy and connection, ways that we've found purpose, and ways that we see hope. Today, especially, we give thanks for that long and winding road we call life, this opportunity to live. Welcome, Anthony.
What up, Molly?
All right, are you ready to share your story?
Yeah. The brain injury community begins and ends with TBI and stroke survivors, brain injury warriors. I joined the fight in a different way. On December 29th, 2021, I died. I suffered a cardiac arrest and was dead for an hour. My brain didn't have oxygen for an hour, folks. That's what the doctors call an anoxic brain injury. I still have all my memories, thankfully. I've lost most of December, though. I do remember playing back-to-back shows, Indy and Louisville, December 3rd and 4th. I was the drummer in a rock band called Problem with Polly. I don't remember much after that, unfortunately. I don't remember Christmas. I don't remember the night before I died, or especially the morning my wife woke up to our rescued pit bull barking a bark she had never heard. Amanda, literally a cardiac nurse practitioner, shot into the bathroom and found me deader than Elvis and knew exactly what to do. Serendipity in real time. I feel so lucky to be here today to tell my story, but I still can't comprehend the depths of this experience and its meaning for my life, maybe even my soul. Today, I invite you to join me in reflecting upon my long and winding road through life and recovery, while also gazing ahead to the unknown beyond. My journey begins with my mom, just like all of our journeys do. She was an amazing woman who continues to inspire me. She left this world on January 2nd, 2019, when she was 62. Just a few days and a couple of years before I died on December 29th, 2021, at 42. 1, 2, 2019, and 12, 2021, 62, and 42. Serendipity in numbers. A single mother and special ed teacher, she taught me the value of patience, love, care, and hope. She suffered a lot in her life. She immigrated from Japan, cared for her mother, and was physically abused by my father until she could safely move us when I was 2. She knew responsibility her entire life, never complained or showed me her pain. So smart, so strong. She tried to teach me as much as she could about each of those. My circumstances growing up reflect the age I grew up in, the 80s, and the state, frankly, Indiana. My dad was granted bi-monthly weekend visitation. I endured constant psychological and severe emotional abuse on those weekends. Instead of beating me with his fists, he used his words. His abuse could be more harmful and substantial that way. Bruises heal, but words can last forever. My dad taught me to hate myself, and for a long time, and probably still do for the most part, but I found music, my savior, my purpose. I was in working bands for 15 years, put out 3 albums, played from Chicago to the Atlantic, from Michigan to Georgia. I even played Nashville a couple times with a country band. I spent my life to get where I was and thought being a musician was my calling. at that point, my life was laid out for me. Everything I was interested in, passionate about, or devoted to was wrapped up in my identity as a drunk. And had been for as long as I can remember. That all changed the day I died. And now realize the day I lived. I've come to believe that each of my life experiences prepared me for this treacherous road. They are insights into what happens next and offer guidance and tools for how to move forward. In the Rehabilitation Hospital of Indiana, RHI, as soon as possible, they got me up and walked me. I don't remember this, but there are pictures of me walking with a couple physical therapists. Cardio is so important to the brain. I'm convinced that movement was the impetus of my brain regaining awareness. I was conscious, but not mentally aware until returning to my room. That's when I truly became conscious and started to remember things. I remember my wife telling me that I died and been in a coma for 3 weeks. This didn't come as a shock. None of it. Me dying, her saving me, the story made sense. I felt immediate acceptance, total acceptance. I was happy to be alive, but at that time, I had no idea what physical and mental deficiencies I had or what lay ahead. One of my first memories is trying to play a drum pad that my mentor and good friend Adam Baum had brought me. When I held the drumstick, I realized my hand and arm didn't have any dexterity, and I couldn't control anything. That's when I first began to realize what had really happened. I was scared. I lost my identity. I was no longer a working musician. I was just a regular guy. This was a new beginning of figuring out who I am and why I'm here. Music always felt easy for me because of my passion and borderline obsession. I put in the time and things took care of themselves. Now on good days, I feel the same way about recovery. I devote the passion and borderline obsession to my recovery. But brain injury isn't linear. I put in time and it takes much longer to see the results. I wish I would have known how long it would take and how hard it would be. I'm now 2.5 years into recovery. It is a roller coaster of ups and downs. Right now, I'm coming back up from a low. I'm focusing on the little improvements as the clicks that gradually pull the roller coaster back to the top. I've come to recognize various voices in my head. Not that I'm crazy. I think We all do to some degree. But I am really influenced by the people who walk through life with me. They remain with me, and I know what they would say about each of my thoughts and actions. When I'm feeling motivated and want to do something, I hear my dad saying, "There's no point in even trying. You're a waste of space." When I hear that voice, I shut down, almost like I did as a kid. It takes a lot to follow through after hearing his judgments. I try to ignore them and try to let my mom's voice in. I try to surround myself with her presence and memory of her wisdom. When she was going through cancer treatment, we made wristbands that said, "Love, Learn, Teach." My mom's voice shows up for me at different times. She is positive and set the example that we can overcome through tough times. I think it's common for people to battle internal voices of negativity and those of triumph. It's important for me to figure out how to work with them, notice, observe, and respond in a way that I'm empowered rather than coward. So I want to strive to be like my mom. I want to love in this life. I want to learn from my experiences. I want to teach the world about brain injury and the possibility of overcoming life's obstacles. Though I wish I would have known how conditional my relationships and support were. When I first came out of the hospital, I felt supported and encouraged. My band was behind me. Right after the brain injury, I talked such a good game. I thought recovery would happen faster. I had high expectations of myself, as did they. Little by little, my relationship from before began to distance, and in a lot of cases, disappear. I really blame lack of awareness, understanding of brain injuries. Maybe their understanding may be mine. It's perspective. The people I meet now see me for who I am now. They listen. They hear my story. People I've met through recovery groups seem positive, inspired, and supportive in my progress. The people at RHI, Northwest Brain Injury Center, and Love Your Brain Yoga Group inspire me. They understand and are patient and supportive. They know the highs and lows and the importance of patience and hope. I credit the disappearance of my community to a downfall in awareness. The brain is so complicated and untapped. I'm not sure how much we'll ever know about it. Every brain injury is unique. I'm not an expert, but I see the average person takes who you were before the brain injury and superimposes who you are now over that. Expectations can still be there. I can't live up to the expectations of my image before the brand new year. And in a way, I feel like I started a recovery from that. I wish I would have known who I was deep down, the person behind the musician. I wish I would have had a grounded sense of self before the brain injury. If I was stronger than that, I think it would have helped me through this. Now I'm working to recover physically while also diving deep into who I am and why I'm here. If I've learned anything, it's don't take life for granted. I went to bed one person and woke up a completely different person. I'm so young and have lived an entire lifetime that could have been someone's full life. I went to bed one person and woke up a completely different person. I was so young and had lived an entire lifetime that could have been someone's entire life. And now I have the opportunity to live as a whole different person and a whole different life. But in a lot of ways, I'm the same person. I'm still shy, still uncomfortable in my skin. Before, I was overly confident in public. But it was all a show. That armor is gone. I'm kinder now. I care more about people. I recognize I want to be a better person. I have the ability to change where I was. I make sure to engage with others with a smile or nod. I consciously try to give positive energy out to the world. It's really one of the only tools I have left in the box. Not everyone has that tool. Some people have given up. I haven't given up. I'm not a quitter. And I know my mom has always been proud of me for that. I have a severe brain injury, and I'm still going out in the world and TCB, taking care of business the best I can. I don't have much going on, but I'm getting up every day, trying to make the best out of a terrible situation. And I'm equipped to discover a new life, my second life, my full life, who I am and why I am here. This has been a long and winding road that leads me back to, well, me, the true me, the deepest me, the best me. There's a phrase drummers use, keep it in the pocket, or play to the song. There's a song there, play it. So that's what I'm doing. And that's my hope for each of you. There's life here. Live it.
As we close today, we take a moment to reflect back on our own long and winding roads. The whole road. The people we've met along the way. The moments of serendipity. The moments of choice, the moments that we've overcome, and the moments we've felt whole. We pause now for those moments we felt whole and wonder, what are we now called to do? How can we step up and offer our talents, our strengths, our personalities, our experiences to serve others? Anthony mentioned he felt a calling being here to help. In what ways can we open our hearts, our minds, our schedules in order to help others? Today, we give thanks for our long, long and winding road. And we ask for courage to continue forward and to be the people we are meant to be. And we give thanks. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to Part 1, Anthony Parsons' Story. Stick with us for Part 2, Anthony Parsons' Interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we heard from guest Anthony Parsons, whose brain was starved of oxygen for an hour on December 29th, 2021. Anthony shared his thoughts on the questions, who am I and why am I here? His story is entitled Long and Winding Road. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.